All right. I'm representing the Gideons, and I just thank you for inviting us today. And I'll just start on my Gideon talk. 13 saved through one testament. In Columbia, a young lady received a Bible in the fifth grade in school. She bought it home. Her father said, "Let me see that," and grabbed it from her. He said, "I'm going to take this to work tonight and to see if it's okay for you to read." That night, there was a mine collapse. Her father was trapped with 12 other miners for 3 days. When they got to them, it was too late. All 13 had died. In the father's shirt pocket was his daughter's testament. Inside the cover was a note to his daughter saying, "This is a good book. You must read it. It tells about the saving faith and love of your Savior, Jesus Christ." That's not all. In the back page of the testament was her father's name signed, professing Christ Jesus as his personal Savior. In addition to that, the other 12 men's names were signed, professing Jesus Christ as the Savior. Praise to God for his powerful word. The Gideons International receives incredible testimonies like this one on a regular basis. That is why we serve, to see people turn to Christ after reading the Bible or New Testament. Through your ongoing support, the majority of our distributions provide God's word to the next generation, students at school, colleges. We also provide scriptures for prisons, police, fire, and medical personnel, as well as those in our community. The Gideons International is organized in 200 countries and territories. We are unique in that our members live in the countries where they serve. We are not just visitors in the country like Nepal, Haiti, Ukraine. We know the language and the culture. Gideons work there, sharing the gospel and copies of God's word with their neighbors, families, and friends. Because of your prayerful support, last year the Gideons distributed 85 million copies of God's word around the world in over 95 languages. I have my wife's sister's husband went to Kenya to distribute Bibles. And a lot of the people there are so poor that they never have any literature. And they gave a New Testament like this one to the people there. And in the school, that one of the schools that they were giving them out, the teacher says, "Well, we don't have any textbooks, so we're going to use the New Testament as our textbook." And those kids were just so happy to own their own copy of anything. They don't have the pleasure of having books like we do here in the United States. You may be interested to know that Gideons International is now legally distributing scriptures in the People's Republic of China. To date, more than 3 million copies have been provided. The scriptures are distributed by Gideon teams and also made available for distribution through Christian-owned businesses. We praise God for the open doors across Asia, where one out of every three people lives. We thank you for helping that make that possible. A scripture like this cost $1.30, and you can get 25 of them for $25. You can get 125 of these. So when you guys give $25, most of the money that we get for scriptures in these third world countries are for people in America. So if you give $25, 125 of these are available for those guys to give away. And to print a full Bible, it's $5, just $5. And 100% of the money that you guys give goes to scriptures. We don't take any for administration. We don't send you junk mail. We won't continue to hound you for money. We go to churches and ask for contributions. So 100% of what you give goes to Bibles. The Gideons provide the money for the overhead and for getting them there and go and help distribute them. So 100% of what you give goes to scriptures. You can donate scriptures anytime through the Gideon cards. If you looking back, there should be a Gideon card display. And these are used in memory of loved ones or to let someone know you're praying for them. You can send a card to a family or friend and send your donation to the Gideons. This is a unique and memorable way to touch thousands of lives with God's word through a simple greeting card. So I hope that you guys will consider giving something to the Gideons. Bob will be in back Bob Fortune will be in back with his Bible open, and anything that you give will go to purchase Bibles for the Gideons International. Well, now I'm supposed to give a message. So I'm a little bit nervous, and I found something that God laid on my heart to give to you. We've already read part of the scriptures that I was going to read to you this morning, but I'm going to read it again. And this is talking about God's Word, this book that we give out. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, is a discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart." And that's what the Bible does. Every one of us as Christians, if you guys are all Christians here, should be in God's Word daily. I take 15 minutes each morning to read God's Word. I can easily get through the Bible in a year. I read it more than once a year. I'm already in Romans for this year. And that's what you're going to hear from is Romans, because I'm in Romans right now. But anyway, so do that. Take time to read. If you guys aren't very good readers, I'm a terrible reader. I didn't read anything. I didn't read any textbooks. I was dyslexic. That's before they knew what dyslexic it was. Man, sevens would turn backwards. On my seventh grade science picture, I put my seven backwards. And nobody said, "Hey, there's seven on there is backwards." My teacher didn't even say anything. I thought maybe she thought I was doing it to be stylish or something. But now I look at it and I go, "Boy, I wrote that seven backwards." Nobody said nothing. But B's and D's flip over on the page. Sometimes whole words flip over when I try to read, or especially when I was younger. And I just gave up. I just couldn't do it. And I never read any textbooks all through high school. If they covered it in class on the board, I could answer the questions. But if they didn't cover it in class, I didn't read anything. And when I started really reading is when I got an iPad and had the Bible app, and I could push a button and it read it to me. I could follow along. And now I read all the time. I wish I would have. I don't know whether I got over my dyslexia. Things don't flip over anymore. B's and D's don't flip over anymore. I don't know whether that's just I grew out of it or what. But anyway, we should be reading God's Word. And like I said, if you can't read, get an iPad and go. And what's so neat about the iPad is you could read it in all the different versions. If you have a question about a word, you can push on it, and it'll give you the Greek and the Hebrew, what it means, and it's just a wonderful tool for anybody that wants to know more about God's Word. But this morning I'd like to get into the real meat of God's Word, and it's in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 9 of Romans chapter 14. And Paul unpacks so much in these few verses of Scripture that you could spend a lifetime on just trying to apply this part of God's Word. It's so powerful. Romans chapter 14, verse 9. Or 12, verse 9. I'm sorry. You're right. 12, verse 9. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said 14. 12. Thank you, Bob. Boy. See, that's dyslexia. I'm looking at 13 and thinking back is 14. Okay, sorry about that. Doggone it. But let me just read to you some scriptures here this morning and let God speak. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And just in that first verse we read there about letting love be genuine and loving one another with brotherly affection reminds me another piece of scripture, and I'd like you guys to turn there. It's 1 Corinthians 13, and I'd like to read you a few verses about what love is and how we can love as Christians and how God loves us. And we just can be so thankful for the love of God. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Love never ends. And that's the type of love that Paul is talking about here. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write that 1 Corinthians 13 about what God's love is and what our brotherly love towards one another should be. As we read through the Bible, we all know the Ten Commandments, you know. And even Jesus said the Ten Commandments are summed up in two things. Love God and love each other. It's all about love, isn't it? If we love God, we won't take his name in vain. We won't make idols. And if we love each other, we won't be stealing from each other. We won't dishonor each other. We won't lie about each other. We won't covet each other's stuff if we really do love each other. And we should love each other as Christian. But that's the Ten Commandments. What about the 11th Commandment? Who knows the 11th Commandment? Come on, somebody help me out here. Jesus gave it. A new commandment I give unto you. What is it? Okay. And that's found in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. God came to earth, and he showed us how to love, didn't he? And you think about the love that God has. He's not pointing a finger at any one of you, saying, oh, look at what you did wrong. Remember the lady that was brought to him and caught in the very act of adultery? And a bunch of Jewish men brought that lady in front of Jesus and said, this lady should be stoned. What should we do with her? And Jesus looked up at him and said, okay, the one of you that don't have sin in your life, you cast the first stone. And then he started writing in the sand. And as he wrote in the sand, I think that everybody there was looking down at that sand and was convicted of their sin. They could see something in that writing that he was doing that convicted of them sin. And the oldest one left, and then they all left. And Jesus looked up at the lady and said, where are the people who condemn you? And he said, I don't have anybody that condemns me, Lord. And he said, well, I don't condemn you either. He said, go and sin no more. And God is not wanting to condemn us because of our sin. We were all in Adam when he sinned. And I'm glad Adam sinned, because it would have got clear to me and then I would have sinned if he wouldn't have. So I'm sure glad it happened then, because I surely would have fouled up. But even when we were born, we had sin imputed to us. That seems so unfair. But yet, God is a fair God. He sent his son to die for us and to cover all that sin. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in him, and it's all covered. We get the righteousness of Christ for nothing. Even though we inherited Adam's sin, we get the righteousness of Christ if we just put our faith and trust in him. And that's just so powerful. And that goes with that 11th commandment. And so let our love be genuine. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9. Let our love be genuine. And love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. I'm going to go off on another bunny trail with this fervent in spirit, because it's all part of Romans. And I'd like you to turn over to Romans chapter 8. And if you would, if you take out a pencil, maybe there's a pencil in front of you or something, every time you see spirit, I'm going to read the first 16 verses of Romans chapter 8. Every time you see spirit, if you'd underline spirit, I'd appreciate it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit, there it is, capital S, Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be met fully in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There it is again, capital S, Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, there it is again, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. You know, we can't overcome any sin in our life without the power of God's Spirit, whether it's your thought life, whether it's any habitual sin that you get caught up in. Pray to God that he would send his Spirit to help you. And then set your mind as flint, just like Jesus did. He set his face as flint against the cross. It says that back in Isaiah. And to set your face as flint is pretty hard. It's like setting your face as stone. And say, Lord, I want to overcome this sin. And then do everything you can, but ask for the Holy Spirit's power, and he'll help you. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, again, Holy Spirit. In fact, the Spirit, capital S, of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but Christ is in you. Although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How important is the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians? It's the utmost important. So we should be fervent in spirit. And that's just so important as Christians. We can't even love each other as we ought to without the Holy Spirit in us. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. I'm back in Romans chapter 12. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. You know, when we go to retaliate against somebody, we want to retaliate when somebody does something wrong to us, don't we? I found out that they're a lot better at it than I am. So if you retaliate, they just retaliate back. And it's just causes a war. And we're supposed to bless those who persecute us and do not curse them. You know, Jesus warned us that a day is coming when all nations, even the United States, will hate you for my name's sake. And it's coming like a freight train. You go on the internet in certain places and people write stuff about Jesus, they don't read their Bible because they didn't get it from God's word. And they say bad things about Jesus. They say bad things about the Bible. They say it's a book of hate speech because of their sin. It points out their sin, and then they call it hate speech. And there's coming a time when all nations will hate you because of Jesus' name. God warned us of that. Or Jesus warned us of that, didn't he? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. never be wise in your own sight. Repay no man evil for evil. And that, there it is again. Don't retaliate. God doesn't want us to retaliate. He says, repay no man evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as depend on you, live peaceably with all. And you know, forgiveness is something that we do for ourselves. Some people think that you forgive for the other person. No, forgive for yourself, because if you don't forgive, it just causes bitterness in your life. Release it. Forgive them. If you forgive, then God says, if you don't forgive other people their sins, neither will I forgive you your sins. So it releases you in more ways than one. So forgive. We need to forgive. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it. I'd like you guys to underline that, leave it, because it's so important. And we want to take revenge. We want to avenge ourselves. We want to retaliate. But God says, leave it. Just leave it there. And why does he say leave it? Because leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God can retaliate a whole lot better than you can. When they stand before God, they're going to have to give an account of their life. And if they've sinned against you, they're going to have to give an account of it. You don't have to do nothing. God's got it all under control. We just need to leave it. Sometimes something bothers you about somebody, something that somebody said to you or somebody did about you. Just leave it. Let God take care of it. Leave it to God's wrath. He'll take care of it. And if not in this life, in the life to come, they're going to stand and give an account before God of what they did to you. And our job is to forgive, isn't it? And we need to have the Holy Spirit to do that too. If we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, it takes that power to forgive. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on your head. We don't understand that anymore. That's an old Egyptian custom. Refers to an Egyptian custom in which persons who wanted to show public conviction carried a pan of burning coals on his head. The coals represented the burning pain of shame and guilt. When believers lovingly help their enemies, it should bring shame to such people for their hate and animosity towards us as Christians. So that's what it's talking about when it says you will heap burning coals on their head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And if we would just take these verses here and we would all do them as a Christian community, we would be so contagious that everybody would, this place would be full in the morning. And boy, I tell you what, there's a lot said in those few verses that Paul has written down. But I just pray that you guys will take a little time to study these things that Paul has written down for us as a Christian community, as marks of a true Christian, and that each one of us would, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, put them into practice. I just thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak this morning. Again, anything that you give this morning, Bob will be in the back with the Bible open. Whatever you put in that Bible will go to Bibles for the Gideon's International. And let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I just pray that you would help each one of us as Christians to be in your word and reading it. I pray that you would help us to understand your word, and that we would apply your word to our lives, and that your forgiveness would flood over us as we forgive others who have sinned against us. And I just thank you for your word and what it can show us and how it can show us to live a life that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.